Today's daf is Maseches Erechin or Arachin Daf Beis. Welcome to a new Masechta. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. And we thank him very, very much for the sponsorship. So today's daf, the Mishnah is first going to just tell us who is included in making Erech vows and in being the subject of Erech vows, in making Nedarim, Damim vows, and being the subject of Damim vows. And then the Gemara is going to ask why he uses the very first word of the Masechta is Hakol. So we assume that Hakol is going on the word Ma'arichin, on the word Ne'arachin, on the word Nodrin, and on the word Nidarin. That Hakol is an inclusive word. So what is the word Hakol coming to tell me? Who is added into the Parsha that we don't already know about? And it's an unusual sugya, because once the Gemara explains what Hakol is coming to do, in our Mishnah, we go through all of Shas and go through every time Mishnah uses the word Hakol, and for the next couple of blot, that's all we're going to be doing. Just explaining what the word Hakol is coming to be Marba in all the different places throughout all of Shas that we use the word Hakol. It reminds me, Rav Sachs said once in the Shir Klali that sometimes when he goes through all of Shas and tries to give examples from all over the place of a particular inyan, of a particular topic, so some of the younger Talmidim will say, "Nah, this is not my derech." So it's the Gemara's Derech Halimud. That's what the Gemara does. The Gemara always tries to go throughout all of Shas and to try to figure out what the commonalities are in the different sugyas in Shas. Maseches Erechin appears over here because once we finish, the Rambam writes in the Hakdamah to the Pirush Mishnayos that once we finish discussing Inyanei HaKabanos, which are Kedush Saguf, so we get to Demei HaArachin, which are also Kadosh, but it's not a Kedush Saguf, it's a commitment of value of certain money to the Beis HaMikdash. Some of the Achronim say a different reason, because the Torah itself in Vayikra, Perek of Zayin, has the Parsha of Maaser Behema right next to the Parsha of Arachin. So since the end of Maseches Becharos discussed the Parsha of Maaser Behema, it's most natural that we go directly into the Parsha of Arachin. Now the Masechta, it's a short Masechta, but nevertheless, it doesn't only deal with the Dinim of Erech, with the Dinim of Arachin and paying it, and who can be Noder. It also discusses the halachos of damim, that if a person makes a commitment to pay demei ha'adam or demei ha'chefetz to the Beis HaMikdash, there are halachos that govern that as well. An erech is not the same as damim. Erech is an assigned value that the Torah gives based purely on gender and age. So you can have a person who's a 12-pound weakling, and you can have a person who's an absolute physical specimen, and one of them will be a much more valuable evet, for example. One of them could be much more intelligent than it's irrelevant how valuable they are or how much money they can make you, just based on their age and based on their gender, they can be the same exact erech. When it comes to damim, we're going to talk about actual value that they would have, and that would vary greatly from one person to the next. So we're going to talk about the dinim of damim as well. We're also going to talk in this Masechta a little bit later on, in the 7th and 8th parak of the Masechta, about the halachos of being makdish, sados and batim, fields and houses. And in the 9th parak, we're going to talk about a person who sold sados and batim being goel those sados and batim, redeeming them, buying them back. So that's just a basic overview of what the Masechta is about. So let's begin the Parsha of Erechin. It says in the Torah in Parak Vayikra Parak of Zayim Pesukim Aleph through Ches that a person who says about somebody else Erko Alai, or he says about himself Erki Alai, my own Erech is my I commit to pay, is chayiv to give to Kachay Bedek Habayis the value that's assigned by the Torah for the person that he had connected the value to, based purely on gender and age. The dinim of erechin that it says in the Torah for someone who says erki alai or erech ploni alai is that he's chayv to pay the is different than the dinim of damim. Like we said, damim is the actual value, erech is the set value. But what does it mean when you say damim, the actual value assessed? How? So Rashi seems to say ke'eved, or does say ke'eved anim kar Yikar Beshuk, right? That the Damim is based on how much he would command if you were selling him as an Eved Hanimkar Beshuk, as an Eved that you were selling in the Shuk, in the Ktsos, in Simon Tav Chav, Sivkad Nalev. He says that Rashi in Baba Kama implies that it means how much he would command on the slave market as an Eved Ivri, meaning if you were being sold with the rules of an Eved Ivri, and how you have to treat an Eved Ivri, and how an Eved Ivri only works for a period of 6 years, who an Eved Ivri is allowed to marry, and how he's not going to. So the halachas of an Eved Ivri, what he would command. However, the Ktos writes that according to Tosos and the Rush, were Shaman Oso Ke'evet Kanani, how much he would command on the slave market as an Eved Kanani, even though you're talking about a Jew, meaning you're saying the Dmei Ploni Alai, the Dumim of that guy, and if that guy was sold, he wouldn't be an Eved Kanani, he would be an Eved Ivri, but that's what you mean. You mean the value on an actual slave market, because an Eved Ivri is not really a slave, he's only there for 6 years. When you say that the value of that person, you must mean what he would command if he were actually an Eved. But that's all as far as Damim is concerned. So says the Mishnah, Hakol Ma'arichin, anyone can say about somebody else, Erko Alai, that this person's Erech is going to be something that I'm going to have to pay, Vinne Erachin, and anyone can be the subject of an Erech commitment. Someone could say about you, that your Erech is going to be the value of what they're going to have to pay to the Beis HaMikdash. Nodrin v'nidarin, and anyone can take a neder vow and can be the subject of a neder vow, and neder assuming means dum of alai or dami alai, that guy's dumim, his actual value is going to be what I commit to pay, or my actual value. Kohanim Levim v'Yisraelim Nashim v'Avadim. Who's included in this? Kohanim Levim Yisraelim, women, and even in Eved Kananim, are all Ma'arichim, they are all Ne'arachim, they're all Nodrim, and they are all Nidarim. Nashim and Avadim, it's true that they can take these vows, however, the halacha happens to be that they don't have a married woman and an Eved, do not have any money of their own, because the woman's money is all Meshubad to the Baal, and the Eved, Yad Eved Kiyad Rabo, but if they take such a vow, the Chiyuv is chal, and they're going to have to pay whenever they do get money, meaning if the woman ever gets divorced, or if the Eved ever gets freed. That's how Rashi writes in Dibra Maschil Nashim. Tosos in Dibra Maschil Nashim says another possibility, that it could be that they'll have their own money if a person gives them a matana, almanas she'in labal ola adon reshuspa. Someone gives them a matana with the condition, with the understanding that the husband or the adon has no reshus in that money, then they have to use that money to be Porea right away, even if the woman is still married, even if the man is still an Eved. Tosos also writes in Dibra Maschil Nashim that even though an Eved is chayiv in mitzvos only like an Isha, his Erech is like a Zachar, meaning the way we assess a person's Erech, like we said, is based on two factors, age and gender. So what do you do with an Eved? An Eved Kanani is chayiv in mitzvos like an Isha, so in this, a certain sense, he's certainly a male, but he has halachos of a woman as far as the chayiv mitzvos. So Tosfos writes, nevertheless, we assess his erech value based on his actual gender. In the Sefer Kol Sofer, he raises the question, the Tana therefore should have said Avadim before Nashim in order to associate Avadim with Kohanim Levim Yisraelim, because an Eved has the same halacha as Kohanim Levim Yisraelim, namely that the erech is as a male, not as a female. So the Sefer HaFlo Shaba Arachin writes that Tosfos has to write this only Lishitas what they said previously in this Tosfos, but according to Rashi, that the chiyuv is not chal on an eved until he's mishtacher, until you free him. So then there's no svara that he should be chayiv in the erech of an isha. I mean, why does Tosfos have to say, oh, that the erech of an eved is that of a male and not that of a female? Because after all, his gender is male, even though his halacha is female. If you say like Rashi that he's not going to be paying it anyway until he's freed, well then he's for sure he's all male. His halachos are like a male, and his gender is a male. So that's what some of the achronim point out, l'chara, that's not so pashut, because it's true that according to Tosfos, he's not going to have to pay it. According to Rashi, rather, he's not going to have to pay it until he's free, but the chiv is chal right away. I mean, the chiv is chal right now, and right now he's still an eved, and right now he's still dino ki'isha. Okay, but be that as it may, that's the first half of the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah Vayter, tumtum v'androgynous, nodrin v'nidarin. A tumtum and androgynous, someone who has ambiguous genitalia, or they have both, so they have the ability to take a neder and to be the subject of a neder. Ma'arichin, they have the ability to take an erech vow, avalone erachin, but they cannot be the subject of an erech vow. She'eino nerech ela zachar vaday, unikeva vadois. Only someone whose gender is very clear is able to be the subject of arachin, because gender is one of the criteria in determining an erech. Cheresh shot of a katan nidarin v'nei arachin. A cheresh shot of a katan can be the subject of both a neder and an erech. The Gemara Maseches Chagiga defines a shota. At the very beginning of Maseches Chagiga defines a shota as someone who's yotzi yichidi b'layla, lon bebeis hakvaros, mekarea eskesuso. He does insane things. He goes to sleep in the cemetery. He tears his clothing, even though they're perfectly good clothing. He just he doesn't show any appreciation for the value of things, and he goes out alone at night when normal people would be afraid to go out alone at night. So that's a shota, someone who's deranged. Avalo nodrin velo ma'arichin. A cher shota v'katan cannot take a neder or an erech vow, mipnei she'ein bem das, because they don't have das. In order to be mechayiv yourself in an erech or a neder, you at least have to have das. You have to be able to say, l'shem mi, you're being ma'arich and you're being noder. Cher shota v'katan, they're not balei das. There's no substance to their neder and erech vows. Says the Gemara, Hakol ma'arich nasu yemai. When we say Hakol ma'arich, what is that coming to include? Meaning the word Hakol always comes to include something. Says Gemara, lasuye mufla samuch li'ish. Coming to tell me that if you have a child who's 12 years old, even though he's not yet called an ish until he's going to be 13 years old, nevertheless his vow still means something. And that's what Hakol is coming to be marba, that he can be ma'arich. And if he does, then we're bodek to see if he's yodea lahaflos, if he understands l'shem mi ha'erich, he understands that he's doing this l'shem Hashem, he understands what he's doing and the import of what he's doing, and if he knows that he was ma'arich l'shem Hashem, then there is substance, then there is strength to his erech and to his neder, and he's going to become chayiv in it. So that's the what we get from the Hakol Ma'arichin. Now the Gemara says that Muflash Samach L'ish is Bechlal Parshas Erechin, and if he says Erech Ploni Alai, he has to give that Erech. His Nedarim are Kayamim, but there is a Machlokas Rishonim about a Muflash Samach L'ish in general. Rashi explains, like we said, he's 12 years old, he's Samach L'ish, but he's not an Ish until he's maybe Shtei Saros, and we call him Mufla because we have to be bodek if he knows lahaflos, if he knows what the value of a neder is. However, the Rambam in the 11th parak of Hilchos Nedarim explains that we're talking about someone who is 13 years old. It's just that he doesn't have simanim yet. He doesn't have shtei sa'aros, so he's not yet a gadol l'chol davar. So that's where we say that he is hukash for that hekdesho v'nidro, that his hekdesh and his neder is going to be meaningful, even though he's still a katan. So that's a machlokas Rashi and the Rambam. The Rashash writes that it seems that it's a total sofer in Rashi, because Rashi says he's not an ish ad sheyavi shtei saros. But Rashi says that we're talking about a 12-year-old. So if he's a 12-year-old, yavi shtei saros is not enough. Yeah, he would need to be yavi shtei saros and hit the age of 13. So that's what it must be a girsa issue in Rashi. Now there is a machlokas haposkim. What about a katon shehigdil be a mei sfiras haomer? Right, we just passed. If a child becomes bar mitzvah during sfiras haomer, so a famous subject of bar mitzvah drashas that we've all attended. If a person can count the yamim with the days of sfira with a bracha because he started counting when he was a katan, or do we say no, that since bekatnuso he wasn't mechuyev in mitzvos, so the sfira is not going to be tmimos, and he should have the same din as someone who missed the day of sfira and he should not be able to count with the bracha. So the Shari Tshuva in Siman Tav Pei Tes quotes the Pri Haaretz, that a katan that's higdil b'yamei sfira counts without a bracha, and he says that when the Pri Haaretz says about a katan that's not according to our minhag, that katanim shegiyu l'chinuch also count, and certainly a mufla samuch l'ish, because certainly if they started counting as a katan, then they can for sure count the rest of the days with the bracha, and if they didn't count until they already became bar mitzvah, then of course they cannot say a bracha. But other poskim disagree. They say no, even if they did count with the bracha as a katan, it's still not going to work. So in the Tshuva's Kinyan Torah Bahalacha, he discusses in Eitza how a katan can count with a bracha l'chala deos, because there's a machlokas rishonim. If someone is nishba l'kayim as a mitzvah, does the shvua take on the status of a full-fledged shvua, would it be subject to a violation of lo yachel dvaro? That according to the Ran in Maseches Nedarim Daf Ches, the shvua is chal, and it would be a violation of lo yachel dvaro if he doesn't keep the shvua. But according to the Gilyon Hashas quotes from the Ramban ala Torah that a nishva l'kayim es ha-mitzvah is not mekayim it, he's not mechayiv mishum shvua, no malkus, no karbon, it's not a real violation midah oraisa. So if you assume, like those shitos, that a shvua is mechayiv yourself to be mechayim a mitzvah, mitzad l'chiyuv shvua, so there's an eitzah for a katan who's going to become bar mitzvah b'yamei svira, that on the second night of Pesach, prior to svira, the first svira, he should say, hareini mekabel alai b'neder, l'kayim mitzvah svira sa'omer b'bracha, kol yamei ha'omer, ad l'tmimos tiyena. The shvua is going to be chal because he's a mufla hasamach l'ish to be chayiv in Sfiras HaOmer, and since he's chayiv to be mevarich mikoach his neder, so he's allowed to be mamshich to the chiyuv with a bracha throughout the rest of Sfira. So that you can utilize this halacha that you have a child who's going to become a bar mitzvah during Sfiras HaOmer. So as far as the chiyuv a mitzvah is concerned, that's only going to pick up in the middle of Sfiras HaOmer. But because he's a mufla samach l'ish, and he has the ability to make nedarim, so maybe that can generate a chiyuv that will allow him to continue. It seems like risky business and bad chinuch to tell them to make shavuos in general. We avoid shavuos and nedarim. These are very dangerous games to play, but that's what that's the suggestion of at least one of the achronim. Okay, now the Mishnah had said not only hakol ma'arichin, but it also said hakol ne'erachin. So ne'erachin nasu yemai, when the word hakol was going on ne'erachin, what does that include? So asuya menuval mukashchin. It comes to include even a menuval or a mukashchin, someone who is disgusting, who's got some physical problems that make it very difficult to live in proximity to him. So salka daita chamina, because we might have thought to say neder be'erkachaksiv, that the Torah itself makes a hekesh between nidrei damim and nidrei arachin, and therefore kol sheyeshna b'damim yeshna b'arachin, that anyone is included in damim, meaning anyone who actually has damim value has erech value, v'kol sheyeshna b'damim yeshna b'arachin, but someone who wouldn't have any damim value, meaning how much would you pay for a mukashchin on the slave market? Zero. It would disgust you every day. You wouldn't want to be anywhere near a mukashchin. So meila, it doesn't have any erech value either. Kamash malan nafshos koldhu. That's why the pasuk has to tell me that in the parsha of Arachin it says nafshos, and that tells me any nefesh has an erech as defined by their gender and their age, and it doesn't really matter whether they have damim or they don't have damim. They certainly have an erech. David Salvechik points out that it's a little bit of a strange hava mina that we would compare the erech to the damim, because it's not that a menuval mukashchin is not betoras damim, meaning the halacha is, if someone says about a menuval or a mukashchin that dam of a lie, we would assess. And if it happens to be zero, it's zero. If it happens to be 50 cents, it's 50 cents. He is betoras damim. It's just that normally a normal person wouldn't pay for that, but he is certainly betoras damim. So that's a little bit strange why it is that the Gemara even has such a hava mina. The Tosus over here writes that when we're talking about a mukashchin that has become a treifa, that even though someone who kills a treifa is potter because he's not bechlal nefesh, but nevertheless he's betoras arachin, even though you need the nerech to be bechlal nefesh as well. And Tosus doesn't really explain why we would distinguish. I mean, Tosus points out, you know what the great chiddush of mukashchin din is that he's a treifa and therefore he's going to die, so he's not worth anything. So, but nevertheless, as far as erech is concerned, he's called a nefesh, and therefore he would have an erech value, which is very difficult, because as far as murder is concerned, he's not called a nefesh. If a person kills a treifa, he's not going to be chayiv. So Tosfos doesn't really explain it very well. So some of the achronim, the Birchas Kohen, says they have to say that a treifa is b'chal nefesh, and therefore he's b'chal parshas arachin. The reason Horeg gets a treifa pater is because he already has something that will kill him. So if you killed him, you have not been mechadesh his misa. His misa was already a process that has been set in motion. Mashal ma'adav adoma, like the Gemara says in Baba Kama Daf Yud Zayin, someone throws a kli off of a roof, right, and it's about to hit the ground and shatter into a million pieces. And another guy comes with a baseball bat and smashes it before it hits the floor. So the second guy is going to be potter because kli shavur, it's already considered to be a broken kli. So that's how they explain. That's how the Birchas Kohen explains why it is that you're not chayiv for killing a treifa, because the process is already underway of killing him. So the achronim discussed, you know, that we've only discussed two areas of halacha as far as whether a treifa is considered a nefesh, as far as a chiv for murder and as far as arachin, and it leads us in two different directions, which means what about every other area of halacha? Do we consider a treifa to be a nefesh? A person kills a behema treifa on Shabbos, is he chayiv mishum hotza'as nefesh? Tosfos Rid quotes from the Rivam, Hori gets a treifa b'Shabbos is potter, because the chiv on Shabbos is only for netilas neshama. A treifa is already considered dead. The Tosfos Rid himself disagrees, and he says that the treifa is chai l'chol dvarav. The fact that a hor go potter, that's because by Ritzicha it says kol nefesh, and if you're not killing kol nefesh, then you're not going to be chayiv minchas chinuch in Mosach HaShabbos. Os Chavtes assumes like the Rivam that a hori gets a treifa b'Shabbos is potter because he's not nafsho chashuv, his nefesh is not really considered a nefesh, and the hotzas a nefesh is not really considered a netilas neshama. So this is a major discussion in the achronim about a treifa. But anyway, back into our Gemara, no drun asuye mai. So our Mishnah said not only akol marichin and akol ne'arachin, but akol nodrin. What's the akol adding about nodrin? So nidar nistrichle, nothing. It's not adding anything. It only mentions nodrin because of nidarin. Okay, nidarin asuyemai, to say that someone can be the subject of a neder, that hakol can be the subject of a neder. What does that come to include? If it's coming to tell me that tumtum van droganis, even though they're ne'erach, even though they're not ne'erach, they are nidar. Well, behedya katanilu, we have beferish in the sefer that tumtum van droganis are nidarin. If it's coming to tell me that a chereshot of a katan, that even though they cannot be noder, but at least they could be nidar, behedya katanilu, it says that beferish in the Mishnah. And ilasu yipoksim in chod. And if you want to tell me it's about someone who's less than 30 days old, where he does not yet have an erech value, nevertheless, he can be nidar, he has a damim value, v'adya katanilu, that's also beferish in the Mishnah and Daf Hey. Maybe he's coming to tell me about a non-Jew that he's nidar and he has damim. He can't say that because b'adya katanilu, that's also beferish in the Mishnah and Daf Hey Amud Beis. So says Gemara, li olam lasuy pachs men chodesh v'tani v'hadar mefarish. It's coming to tell me the din of someone who's not yet 30 days old and a tum tum and a droganus and a chereshot of a katan and an ovid chavim. That all these things, all of the suggestions that we had. Gemara mentions tum tum and pachs men chodesh, but it means all of them. All of the suggestions that we had are what's included in the word hakol, and it's just that the Mishnah then spells out and elaborates what the word hakol was coming to include. So now, once we mention what the word akol comes to include as the very first word of this Masechta, we travel through all of Shas and we'll give dozens of examples over the next couple of days. That's what I'm already giving you the basic summary at the beginning of tomorrow's here. It's all about what the word akol means in different places in all of Shas, because that's the next two dapim. That's all it's about. So akol somchin, the Mishnah Masechta Menachos, when it talks about smicha on karbanos, when it says hakol somchin, so lasuye mai, what's that coming to add? Lasuye yoresh. And that's against Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a Yoresh would not produce smicha on a korban of a deceased relative, of a deceased father. Next, Hakol Memirin. There is a halacha called Tmura. The Torah tells us from Vayikra Perach of Zayin that Vim Behema Sheyakriv Men a korban, it says Loyachlifenu, Loyamir. So if you have a korban, you're not allowed to be Machlif or Memir, you're not allowed to exchange its Kedusha onto another animal. And the halacha is if you do, both the original animal and the tmura become kodesh. So the halacha is that even if it was a chulin animal previously, but you have said zu tachazu on a korban, so now it's going to become kadosh. And the owner of the korban that was meimirid is chayv malchus, because he also violated an isra in the Torah of lo yamiroso. So someone who's not an owner of the korban doesn't have the capacity, doesn't have the ability to do tmura. So hakol memirin lasuyamai. What are we coming to include with the phrase hakol memirin? In some of the acharim, they raise the question, why don't you say it's coming to tell me a mufla samachlish, just like we said before? So okay, so that's a discussion in the Gemara and Tmura. We'll see when we get there what the halacha is about a mufla samachlish by tmura. But anyway, lasuyamai lasuyay yorish. It's coming to include someone who is a yorish on his father's car. But his father died, and he tries to effect the tmura. Udilok Rabbi Yehuda, and that's against Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Titania Yorish Somech, Yorish Meimar. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yorish Eino Somech, Yorish Eino Meimar. The Tanakama says that a Yorish can affect tmura. Rabbi Yehuda says no, he can't. The Yorish cannot affect tmura. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. Why is it that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a Yorish cannot be Meimar? So the reason we first explained Rabbi Yehuda, even though he was quoted second, the Achronim explained, is because the shita of the Tanakama is obvious. Why is it that he can be Somech and that he can be Meimar? That would be obvious that Mestama, he's Omeid B'makom Aviv, so he can do all of these things. He took his father's place. No, but we first need to explain where Rabbi Yehuda gets the idea that he can't, and then we could address why the Tanakhama disagrees with that. So Karbano v'lo Karban Aviv. It's a drasha from a pasuk. It says Karbano, his Karban, not Karban Aviv. V'yalev t'chilas hegdish misof hegdish. And we learn Tmura, which is called Chilas Hegdish, because that's when you're first being makdish that animal, from Smicha, which is called Sof Hegdish. Masof Hegdish Yorish Eino Somech, just like when it comes to Smicha, a Yorish cannot do Smicha. After Tchilas Hegdish, Yorish Eino Meimar. A Yorish can also not affect Tumura. V'Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan, how did they darsh in the Pasuk? Hamer Yamir, L'Rabos is Yorish. That there's a special Riboy in the Pasuk that includes a Yorish. V'Alfina, Sof Hegdish, Mitchilas Hegdish. And we learn the Dinim of Smicha from the Dinim of Tumura. Matchilas Hegdish Yorish Meimar, so Hegdish Yorish Somech, that if a Yorish can be Meimar, then a Yorish can be Somech as well. How did the Chum Darshan then the word Karbano? V'Rabbanan Hay Karbano, my Avdilei. Karbano sounds like it's a miut of some sort, that somebody is not allowed to do Smicha. So who's that about? So Mibayle Karbano v'lo Karban Ovid Kochavim, that a Yisrael cannot be Somech on a Karban of a Goy. Karbano v'lo Karban Chavero, nor can anyone be Somech on somebody else's Karban. Karbano L'rabos kol bali chovrin l'smicha. And Karbano tells me that as long as you are one of the owners of that Karban, you can do smicha. Even though there's a whole shutfus, there's a whole partnership group that owns that Karban, one of the owners is able to do smicha. No, kol bali chovrin, that all of the owners have to do smicha, that it's not going to be good enough to have one of the owners represent the rest to do smicha. Rabbi Yehuda, the rabbis called by the chavrin smicha lasei, and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of this din. He holds it's good enough to have one of the owners do smicha. V'inami yisle, and even if he held that you need all of the owners to do smicha, ovid kuchav mechavero mechad kranafki. That the idea that you don't do smicha on the carbon of another chavim, or that you can't do smicha on your friend's carbon, that's all derived from one time that the Torah uses the word Karbano, and therefore it frees up Ayatri Lutrei two other times that the Torah uses the word Karbano, Chad Karbano v'lo Karbanaviv, one to tell me that I don't do smicha on your father's Karban, v'idach l'rabbis kol bali chavrin l'smicha, and then the other one to tell me that all of the shutfim of Karban have to do smicha. Rabbi Yehuda, hai hamer yamir mayavadai, good, so if the basis of the sheet of the Rabbanan that Yoresh can do smicha Hamicha and Kedut Mura is from an extra phrase, Hamer Yamir. What did Rabbi Yehuda do with Hamer Yamir? Right? He obviously didn't darshan it the same way because he disagreed about a Yorish doing Tmura. So Mibayle, the Rabbi says, he Isha. He used it to include an Isha. Detani, Lefisha, Kal Inyan, Inyan, Medaber, El, Lashon Zachar. The whole parsha of Tmura is written in Lashon Zachar. So Masafina, the Rabbi says, Isha. How do I know that a woman is also included in the parsha of Tmura? That if she does a Tmura, it's going to be Chal. Tamlomar, Vim Hamer, Yamir. That he uses a double expression to be Marbe, even in Isha as well. Verabana, and how did the Rabbana know that an Isha is included in Tmura? Mi Vim, an extra Vav of Vim that it says in the Pasuk, Rabbi Yehuda. Vim, lo darish, and Rabbi Yehuda is not Doresh, the extra Vav. It's a question whether throughout Shas, whether Rabbi Yehuda is Doresh Vavin or not. There's a Tosos, Maseches Menachos, and Daf Nun Aleph that tries to give examples. Rabbi Yehuda is Doresh, an extra Vav, but at least over here, for whatever reason, he's not Doresh, the extra Vav. So we continue our tour through Shas. Where else does it say Hakol, and what's it coming to include? Hakol Chayavin Besukah. It says in a Braisa, not a Mishnah, that Hakol Chayavin Besukah, Lasuye Mai. What's that coming to include? Lasuye Katan Sheino Tzarech Li'imo. To tell me that once a child is of the age where he no longer is going to call out for his mother in middle of the night, the Gemara over there in Maseches Sukkah says, what do you mean no longer going to call out to his mother in the middle of the night? Everyone calls out to their mother in the middle of the night. So the Gemara says, no, but once he realizes what he's doing, he's going to stop right away. But a very young child will keep on calling out mommy, right? If a kid in sleepaway camp, Lamashal, calls out mommy in the middle of the night and he looks around, makes sure none of his friends heard him, and then he stops. But if a kid keeps on calling out mommy, then he's not chayv in sukkah. Ditnan, katan sheino tzarech li'imo, chayv in sukkah. Only when he's eino tzarech li'imo is he chayv in sukkah, mitam chinuch. The age for each mitzvah when it comes to katan, Tosfos Maseches Sukkah and Daf Chav Ches points out that Lagabe Sukkah, it's when it's Eino Tzarech Li'imo. Lagabe Chagiga, it's when he's able to be Ola Ba'atzma. Lagabe Lulav, it's when he's Yochel and Anea. Lagabe Tzitzit, it's when he's Yodea L'Satev. Lagabe Talmud Torah, it's when he's Yodea L'Daber. Meaning, people often throw around the term the age of Chinuch. There is no single age of Chinuch. It's for each and every mitzvah. Briskrav points out, not just each and every mitzvah when he's able to basically perform the task of the mitzvah, but when he's able to do the mitzvah b'shleimusa, when he's able to do the mitzvah in its fullest sense, meaning a very young child could be in the sukkah, he'll scream for his mother in the middle of the night, he'll have a rough night, but he could be in the sukkah, but he's not going to be able to do the mitzvah b'shleimusa to be confident that he'll make it through the entire night to sleep in the sukkah. The age of chinuch begins, you can wear a talis without being misatev ba, you can take a lulav mida'ag be'nafak be, the second you pick it up, you go to the mitzvah without being minaneya, the lulav, but the mitzvah minamuvchar is with all of the bells and whistles, with all of the details of the mitzvah. In fact, there's a discussion in the Achronim. What if a katan is old enough to eat matzah, but he's not old enough to say the birchas hamitzvah on matzah? So would you say that he's chayiv and chinuch? Is the birchas hamitzvah considered a chelek of the mitzvah, or is it independent from the mitzvah? Because he could do the mitzvah b'shlemusa, he could eat a kazayis of matzah, or you say, no, he's not really doing the mitzvah b'shlemusa unless he's able to say the bracha. Others point out that if he doesn't know the whole inyan of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, then it's not the mitzvah b'shlemusa anyway, because part of the kiyum of matzah is lechem sha'onim alav dvarim harbe. Anyway, hakol chayavim b'lulav l'asuyamayim, when we say hakol chayavim b'lulav, what does that come to include? L'asuyi katan yodei l'naneya, that the child knows how to be menaneya l'lulav, d'tran, katan yodei l'naneya, chayav b'lulav, hakol chayavim b'tzitzis l'asuyamayim, l'asuyi katan yodei l'satev, t'tani katan yodei l'satev, chayav b'tzitzis, hakol chayavim b'tfilin l'asuyamayim. What does it come to include when it says that everyone is chayav in tefillin? L'asuyi katan yodei lishmar tefilav, a person who knows not to bring his tefillin into the Beis HaKisei. T'tanya katan yodei lishmar tefillin, aviv lo keach lo tefillin. If a katan is old enough to know to protect his tefillin, then his father has to buy him tefillin. Tosfos is bothered why it is that when it comes to tzitzis, we say when he's yodei l'satev, chayav b'tzitzis. Yet when it comes to tefillin, we say aviv lokeach lo tefillin. So a couple of possibilities. First of all, we assume he already has a beged. So chayiv betzitzis means he just has to put tzitzis on the beged that he already has. We do not assume he already has tefillin. Furthermore, tefillin are much more expensive than a dalet kanfus, than a beged of dalet kanfus. So he's probably going to need daddy's, his lemonade stand is not paying for the tefillin. It might be able to pay for the tzitzis, but it's not going to pay for the tefillin. Okay, now we move on to the next mitzvah. The Torah tells us that shalosh pa'amim b'shana yeirah kol zechur chas pnei Hashem elokechem v'akom ha'shayiv char b'chag matzos b'chag shavuos u'b'chag ha'sukos. That there's a mitzvah re'iyah on Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkos. Every male has to be all the regal to the Beis Hamikdash lihira'os l'fnei Hashem, and we dash from there that avadim k'nanim are potter from the mitzvah, because the mashmos of the pasuk is that you're only chayiv b're'iyah if Hashem is your only adon. But if you have another adon, you're potter from re'iyah. We also dash in a chiger, someone who's disabled, is not able to be holich beraglav, is potter from aliyah l'regel, because it says shalosh regalim, a lashon of regel, that he's able to go beregel. We also say that he's got to bring with him, the Torah tells us, an olas re'iyah. Pasuk says lo yiras pnei Hashem rekam, and shalmei chagiga, there are karbanos that you have to bring with you when you go to be all the regal. So says Gemara, hakol chayavin b'ri'iyah, that which the Mishnah says at the very beginning of Masechet Chagiga, that hakol, everyone is chayiv to in ri'iyah. So lasuyamai, what does that come to include? Lasuyam mishchetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin, to include someone who's even half eved and half ben chorin. How does that happen? Two shutfim chip in together and they buy an eved. One of them is mishachar the eved, and the other one is not mishachar the eved. So the tzad eved is pater from re'iyah, but nevertheless, since he has a tzad ben chorin, that's enough to be mechayev him in re'iyah. Ulravina damer mishchetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin pater min re'iyah lasuye chiger b'yom rishon nisvashi b'yom sheni. What if you hold like Ravina that a chetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin is pater from Re'iyah? So then what is Hakol coming to include? Yes, someone who was disabled on the first day of Regel, but he's already cured by the second day. That now he has to be Ol Regel and bring a carbon Re'iyah, even though when the Chiyuv began, he was Pater. That works out very well if you assume that each day of Regel is a Tashlumin for the day that preceded it. So each day has a Tashlumin on the next day. So someone who's a Chiger B'yom Tov Rishon and is Nisrape on any of the other days is going to be Chayiv. Elmand Yom Rekulon Tashlumin L'Rishon L'Suyemai. But if you hold that the Chiyuv is said on the first day, and anyone who's Chayiv on the first day is going to be Chayiv, and anyone who's Pater on the first day, everything is just a tashlumin for the Rishon. But if he never had the Chiyuv, then it doesn't matter that he got better in the middle. He's going to be Pater. So then what's that call coming to include? Lasui Suma Ba'achas Me'enav. Coming to include someone who's blind in one eye. Deloki Aitana. Titania. Yochan Ben Davai Yomer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda. Suma Ba'achas Me'enav Pater Min Ariyah. Because there is a Tana that says that someone who's blind in one eye is Pater from Ri'iyah. Shenemar Yera'eh and Yir'eh. Kiderek Shabal Liros. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to see the Ola L'Regel, so too it comes to be seen. Maliros b'shteyenov, just like Hashem sees in the fullest possible way, we're using the phrase b'shteyenov, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ein lo d'mus haguf, but we use the phrase b'shteyenov, just like he sees with both of his eyes, afle ra'os b'shteyenov. So too, you have to come and see the entire experience of Aliyah L'Regel with both of your eyes. Or maybe it's coming to include about the case of Chesiav and Ches Ben Chorin. The Kakash Alach Ravina, we asked the Kash on this Teretz that it doesn't work according to Ravina, who says that Chesiav and Ches Ben Chorin is part from Ria, lo Kasha. Kan b'mishnah Rishona, kan b'mishnah Achrona. Ravina was said according to the Mishnah Rishona that according to Beis Hillel, before Beis Hillel changed their mind, because this is one of the examples in Maseches Edios where Chazru Beis Hillel lahoros kidivrei Beis Shammai about what the status is of a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin. Ditnan, the Mishnah tells us Maseches Edios and Maseches Gittin, misha chatzi eved and babash, misha chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin. If someone is chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin, Beis Hillel said he stays that way and he works half the days of the week and he's free half the day of the week to work for himself. Amulam Beishamai Tikantam Esrabo Vesatzbol Tikantam. That's great for the for his master. His master still gets as much work as he would have gotten when he was Beshutfus with another person in this event. But what about the guy himself? He's stuck. Lisa Shivcha Enu Yachol. He's not going to be able to marry a Shivcha because he's Tzad Cherus Shabo. Baschorin Enu Yachol. He's not going to be allowed to marry a Baschorin because of his Tzad Abdu Shabo. Yibatel, you want to leave him without the ability to have children, to have a family? Valolo Nivra Olam Ella Lepriya Rivia. The world was only created for Puruvu Shinemar Lo Sovra Lashevis Yitzar. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't create the world to be empty. He wanted it to be populated. So you can't leave a person without the ability to have a family. Elam Epnei Tikkun HaOlam. So rather, because of Tikkun HaOlam, Kofen Asrabo Voso So Ben Chorin, the master has to make him a Ben Chorin. The remaining master has to free him. Because of Shtar Al Chatzidamav, and the Eved will owe him the value of half of his money, of half of his value. And then once Beisila heard that Eitza, V'chaz Beisila Lohos Kedivri Beishamai, Beisila went and passed him like Beishamai. So according to the Mishnah Achrona, meaning after Beisila was Chozer, the Allah is that Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin is like a Meshuchrar, because once the Chum Markovea, you're going to have to be Meshachrar him. He's considered that Ein L'Rabo Rishusalav, that his master doesn't have any control over him, and therefore he only has a single Adon, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he's going to be Chayiv in Re'iyah. And that's what the Tana is saying. HaKol Chayiv in Re'iyah, even the Chatzi Eved and Chatzi Ben Chorin. We'll continue our list of HaKols Be'ezus Hashem tomorrow.